MJ, have you heard of Death Battle?
I'm familiar with the concept of a death battle.
It is a YouTube channel that does the stupid arguments of who would win in a fight, Batman or Iron Man. But then they try to take it extremely seriously in regards to like calculating like particular feats of strength that comic characters do. It was like, here, Superman picks up this rock. Like, if the rock is 10 meters long and whatever, then it weighs this much, so it can lift this much. And then they animate two characters fighting each other to the death. But the last one that they did was Sun Wukong versus Hercules.
Did Sun Wukong win?
Of course, Sun Wukong fucking won.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a portable army. You're not just facing one Wukong, you're facing hundreds. You're fucked. Give him what he
I
wants.
mean, Hercules might be a bit immortal, but Wukong is like 50 times, like it's quadruple immortal, so.
Is it quadruple or quintuple immortal? Because he's got, he learned it, he earned it. He spoke to Death's manager
Yeah.
to get more immortal.
There's the peaches.
The peaches, just Tony, oh, the peaches. And then Lao Tzu's immortal
Yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if
Which
you
I,
want,
you
like
know, okay.
each peach was then to make you like immortal, and he ate all of them. And the same with like Leti's tablets, he like downed loads of them. So
So he's like
four distinct sources, but like hundreds of
immortal units.
yeah.
What's a unit of immortality? You're the physics person.
A unit of immortality is a wow bagger.
A wow bagger.
Yes.
Okay. That makes sense. Wow bagger, the infinitely prolonged. So
Yes.
he's got like 20 wow baggers.
Yeah.
It's 20 wow baggers worth of immortal. And just as insulting.
It was very witty of me to come up with that off the cuff and not have to Google what his fucking name was.
I mean, you had the concept, You had the concept. It was your concept.
I definitely didn't edit out me looking his name up.
I don't see the point in you edit. You're just creating more work for yourself unnecessarily.
Well, now I either need to edit out me searching it, or I need to edit out me saying that I edited out me searching it, because it won't make sense if I don't. So I need to edit one of
Well,
those things out now.
again, as I've said before, that is your problem.
Hello, and welcome to Journey of the Monkey King. My name is Queen Eva, and I'm not quite yet joined by MJ because I am recording this warning section on my own for a second. So you've presumably already seen the title of the episode. MJ has not, and the male pregnancy aspect of this plotline is going to be a surprise for them. But I will give you the warnings up front. Obviously, episode contains pregnancy, but also abortion and miscarriage, which is not exactly graphic, but is a bit gross, I guess. And some discussion of rape threats also occurs in the episode. So that's it, and I will now return you to myself and MJ.
When we last left them, Sun Wukong had just gotten help from every fucking god to deal with the one-horned Buffalo King and
Lao Tzu's
reunited.
escaped fucking pet buffalo.
Yeah, the escape Lao Tzu's pet escape pet buffalo has just taken on almost every god and kicked their arses. Well, it was mostly the Fillet, but he was pretty good in a fight too.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta give kudos to the buffalo. I feel so much more, you know, sympathy for the buffalo now that I realize just left the fucking gate open. It's just like, I don't know. He does not strike me as a responsible pet owner in general.
Yeah, I mean, if I let my cat out and she gets into fights with other animals, that's, you know, that's my responsibility.
We've seen Asog today.
Yes. MJ got
she was nuzzling the mic
on the video call.
Yeah, this is lost on you listeners, as this is it's an audio only medium, but just imagine a little white cat just like gently nuzzling the microphone.
Yes.
You got this possible kind of sound.
She's currently napping. There's some ASMR for you. She's currently napping on my desk next to me as I record this.
Baby. Anyway, where were we before we got distracted by Kat?
So the pilgrims are heading away from the Golden Helmet Mountain and they hear a voice calling them to not forget their food. So the local spirits give back the rice that they were holding that Sun Wukong stole for the pilgrims, and they even reheat it for them. It's very nice.
Oh, that's nice. Celestial microwave. Ding.
So they eat and chat for a while, and Wukong blames Baji for talking Tripitaka into leaving the circle of protection that Wukong had drawn on the ground for them, and Tripitaka promises to listen to Wukong next time.
I mean, just maybe don't listen to Wukong, but just never listen to Baji.
True.
This is not a binary choice here. They're both terrible options, but just never, ever listen to... Don't listen to either of them about anything.
Mm.
I don't know. Wukong's had his moments in identifying, you know, murderous spirits or whatever. So, you know, we'll give him kudos for that. But just never Baji. Baji has never been right about anything.
This is true. But they head out on the road again, and eventually they come to a river. And for once, there is actually a convenient ferry crossing right here. And they call for the ferry.
It's haunted.
No. The worst, there's a woman. They call for the ferryman, but actually, it's a ferry woman.
Oh, no.
And they ask her where the ferryman is, and she just smiles at the condescension.
Hey, love, it's your Boston.
Yeah. Doesn't reply and just starts setting up to take them across. And when they're across and she's paid, she heads into a hut in the village of the bank by herself, just kind of laughing to herself, minding her own business.
Yeah.
And, or maybe not minding her own business because she's kind of laughing at them, but kind of not talking.
Just taking a moment. Just fuck them, bitches, you know.
So Tripitaka and Baji are pretty thirsty, and the river water looks very clear and clean, so they quench their thirst a bit. But as they're heading further down the road, both of them start to get very bad stomach aches. So Wu Jing puts it down to drinking water that's too cold, but the pain quickly starts to get worse.
The spirits should not reheat that rice correctly.
Both of their bellies start to visibly swell up. And when they put their hands over it, they can feel something moving inside.
Oh no.
So they do come across another village pretty quickly. And Wukong suggests finding an apothecary to get something for them. And the first person they see is an old woman sitting outside the village gate and doing some knitting.
Ew, another woman.
Woo!
Day keeps going from bad to worse.
So Wukong goes up to her and he calls her Popo. Anthony uses a footnote here. He says the the word po means old woman in general or grandmother. And he just says he decided to leave it untranslated as he didn't think either like old lady or madame or whatever really fit the tone. So they all just called her Popo. He tells her that Tripitaka and Baji are not feeling well after drinking water from the river. And she just immediately starts laughing her hole off and invites them into her house.
Loving all these women laughing at the team. They should have a, they don't have a team name. They should have one.
I've just been calling them the Pilgrims.
Yeah. Chaos Pilgrims. I'll leave it with me.
Okay.
Leave it with me. It'll be annoying. I will warn you, it'll be really annoying.
Okay. So Wukong asked the old woman to get something for Tripitaka and Baji, and she just kind of ignores them, and she tells everyone else to come look and have a good laugh. So a load of middle-aged old women come out to stare at them, and Wukong loses his patience and starts shouting, and he scares them all off, but he grabs the first old woman and he tells her, go boil water for Tripitaka, because he thinks they need some hot water to balance out the cold water they were drinking.
Of course, that's just science.
So she finally explains, hot water isn't going to help them. They don't have just upset stomachs here. You see, there's a reason that they haven't seen any men here.
Oh no.
They've crossed over into the women's state of Western Liang, it's called. There's no men here. So the thing is, there's no men here in this entire country. So reproduction typically has to happen in a different way.
Oh no.
That river they drank from back there is called the Child and Mother River. So this is what I was excited for, MJ. It's the fucking Empreg chapter. Are you excited for the Empreg chapter?
No. Ew. I'm sorry. Pregnancy is just icky. The miracle of life. You know, fair play to yous that can do it. But I don't know. I'm at the stage of my life where my friends have had kids like on purpose, and they get really excited when they're like either excited or pissed off when they're describing all these, you know, changes to their anatomy, and I it's all I can do not to vomit. Like I'll play with your kid when it arrives. I'll look after your kid when it arrives. I don't want to know how it got there. Bring back the stork is my take on this. Just duh. Happy Father's Day.
Well, this won't be going out on Father's Day, but yeah, we're was it? It was Father's Day yesterday, was it?
When we were it was Father's Day yesterday, yeah.
Unless we hold off releasing it for 364 days.
I mean, who's got the time to edit anything? No. I get the editing isn't even my problem. I'm just the clown here, but
like, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, Tripitaka immediately asks Wukong what the hell to do about this, because he's the one who solves all the problems. And Baji in particular is very concerned about the physiological problem of where exactly the baby is going to come out.
Thinking ahead. They're gonna shit out a baby, aren't they?
So Wukong gives a response to the effect of life finds a way, and suggests that maybe the baby will crawl out of your armpit or something.
Or armpit.
Yeah, that's what Wukong suggests.
Yes, the famous orifice in your armpit. Well, you can... No, just...
Does that make the image of pregnancy better or worse for you?
I don't know. I have so many recurring nightmares about pregnancy, but I've never, like, dysphoria dreams and all that, but I've never had an armpit baby dream. There ain't no hole there. Well, I mean, anyway, probably fuck it, but there ain't no hole there.
I don't know. I'm now curious as what the oldest, like, male pregnancy story is. I mean, this novel isn't that old. It's only a couple hundred years old. There's probably an epic poem or two that features it, surely.
There has to be. Let's see what we can find here.
Find us on Twitter on Monkey King Pod and send us your oldest, tell us, favorite male pregnancy story.
Male pregnancy. Why do I feel like I'm gonna get a ton of transphobia here?
Oh god, yeah. That or just, yeah, like the fucking, was it Omegaverse stuff? Or both? Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of transphobic Omegaverse fanfiction stories too.
There's stuff about Thomas Beattie. Nothing from Legend. Oh god, the headlines about this were so awful. Ugh. No.
Sorry.
Ugh. Brief history of the pregnant man! ! He's pregnant. You're speechless.
I mean, I guess depending on your view of Loki, didn't Loki give birth to a couple things?
Yeah, this is true.
Not quite the same, but because he was like turning into random animals.
Yeah, he wasn't male the whole time either. I mean, he was a mare for a bit.
Yeah, yeah. He's generally referred to and thought of as a man.
Man is 6 months. No. Let's go back to the fictional.
Yeah.
Horrific pregnancy.
So Baji shouts, finished, I'm dead, which I don't think I've ever mentioned before, but him just kind of shouting, finished, I'm finished, is like, he doesn't say it often enough that it's a catchphrase, but he does like to dramatically shout about how fucked he is whenever he's upset.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
So yeah, Wujing agrees. He takes the opportunity to just make fun of him. He tells him to stop squirming or he might hurt the baby. And
Wujing is not pregnant.
No, Wujing is fine. And this is a kind of a magical pregnancy. So Baji thinks the pain is getting faster and he thinks that maybe even like labor could be starting already, or not starting, but could be approaching already. So he begs Wukong to go ask the woman to find some midwives. And Wujing again just makes a joke about not like exerting himself because his water might break.
Break from where?
Oh,
gushing from the armpit.
Yeah, best left on imagined, I think. Last episode you asked was this going to be about child murder, and I guess the answer depends on how pro-choice you are, because Tripitaka immediately asks the old woman to go find a physician and get her to prescribe an abortificant, because he just immediately, yeah, like, I want an abortion.
Yeah, I respect you, Tripitaka. Yeah, so absolutely. Yeah.
So the old woman says, normal drugs won't be of any use. The only thing that will terminate the pregnancy is water from the abortion stream in the child's destruction.
So sorry.
You like the abortion stream?
You just gotta drink the abortion water.
Yeah, literally, yeah. They just have the abortion stream, yeah.
Abortions have always happened and people will find a way. But yeah, the abortion stream, it's right next to the STI medication tree. Yeah. You just pick the antibiotics like berries and, you know, chug some abortion water.
Do you know that there's a I can't remember the name. Do you know that there's a herb that went extinct? A herb that was like a natural contraceptive in Europe that went extinct because the Romans used it so much.
I vaguely remember hearing about this. There are also plenty of natural abortion drugs out there if you're using them safely. Obviously no one's shouldn't be anybody's first choice, but
Silphium.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Yeah, no, if I were to need one in a place where it weren't legal, I would probably look up Women on Web, which is an important resource for some unlucky people.
Was it the Greek and later Roman city of Cyrene in North Africa minted coins that depicted the herb on it because it was that important? I'm just looking at shit. I'm looking at shit in Wikipedia now.
I'd love currency with like the pill on it, or just fucking banknotes with condom, like pictures of condoms on them, not actual condoms.
Oh yeah, it's also speculated that the heart symbol, the abstract heart symbol that we use, might have been influenced or based on the shape of its seeds.
There's a lot of sort of, I don't know, speculative sources for that. The most common one I've heard is it's an arse.
Mm.
I don't know.
I mean, also yeah, a real heart kind of looks like that if you simplify it and remove all the veins and everything.
I mean, ish. I don't know what it would look like if you remove all the veins, actually. Just kind of floppy.
But yeah, so anyway, abortion stream.
I don't know why that one's so funny to me.
It's just a very literal name. I appreciate the fact that it's very matter of fact and there's no euphemism around it. It's just, yeah, you need a fucking abortion, go to the abortion stream.
No euphemisms, no nothing. No
Catholic shame euphemisms about, you know, oh, just going on a trip to England.
Yeah. No explaining yourself to a doctor who may or may not. Yeah. You just go drink your abortion water. It's fine. Make an abortion cocktail. If you wanted. Just like get a little cordial, maybe some gin and some herbs in there.
For anyone who doesn't know, the thing about traveling to England is Ireland, abortion was illegal in Ireland up until like
2018.
Yeah, 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so women just went to England to get it. It's still basically unavailable in Northern Ireland as well.
Women who could afford it went to England to get it. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of work. There were some organizations who could help you get there. Women on Web was a huge thing. They would send you misoprophazine, I believe, in the mail, which can be very safe when used correctly. There was a legal concern about being caught with it. Some people took the risk. Some people would have used parcel motels and things like that to make it harder to trace. It was an unfortunate situation I guess the modern movement for it kind of kicked off in like 2011. There's fights for it before then, obviously, but 2011 with the death of
Savita Halpinaver.
Yeah, that galvanized, and then it was years and years of organizing and hard work and human stories were a big thing. But yeah, it was dark and it was ugly, and you know, no joke, serious solidarity to anyone in the parts of the world that are going through that right now.
Yeah. I mean,
yep.
As well, just like parts of the world, including just fucking up north.
Yeah, that's plenty fucked up.
Anyway, we were enjoying a story.
Let's go back to our abortion cocktails, which I would recommend taking some abortion from the abortion water from the abortion stream. Little bit of cordial. And mix some berries from the STD antibiotics tree. Just crush those up. Give it a nice little swirl. And just add some psyllium as a garnish.
Yep.
And enjoy. Yeah. Gin, if that's your thing.
So I didn't even finish that sentence, by the way. So the abortion stream is...
so sorry.
located in... the child destruction cave.
Oh God!
And the child destruction.
Oh God!
The child destruction cave is in the male undoing mountain.
I'm gonna be honest, Quiva. I got nothing. I got nothing here. There's a lot to unpack.
It is 3,000 miles south of the village, but that's obviously not a problem for Wukong. What might be more of a problem, though, is a year ago, a Taoist immortal by the name of True Immortal Compliant, I need to double check that I didn't fuck up a spelling here. I wrote complaint in my notes instead of compliant repeatedly.
And it's a fucking man, and he's complaining about shit that has nothing to fucking do with him. Although, you know, obviously men can get pregnant, but you know what? Yeah, fuck that guy.
Anyway, about a year ago, a Taoist immortal by the name of True Immortal Compliant moved in, declared the cave and the stream his private property, built an abbey there called the Abbey of Immortal Assembly, and he is now only rationing out abortion water to people who will bow to him and give him offerings.
So, you know, just like going to see the doctor to ask for an abortion here.
Yep, yep.
Great.
You need to bow low, be respectful, and not be uppity about it.
Yeah.
To have bodily autonomy.
Try not to look slutty when you're bowing.
Wukong still doesn't see this as a problem. You know, what's another immortal to fight? So he leaves Wujing behind to take care of Tripitaka, and the old woman gives him a large porcelain bowl. And asks him to fill it up so that the village can have some for any future emergency.
Damn right. Stock up on that abortion juice.
Yeah. So when Wukong arrives, the True Immortal Compliant does not greet him, in fact, with open arms. He actually knows who Wukong is. And much like most people who know who Wukong is, he's not happy about this.
Yeah. I mean, that is fair, but if we know anything, it's the easiest thing to do is just give the fucker what he wants and hope he goes away, because he is not worth the trouble.
So more specifically, the reason that Compliant doesn't like Wukong is, do you remember Red Boy? The Bull Demon King's son.
Mm-hmm.
This is his uncle.
Oh.
And he's not super happy about his brother's son being reduced from the great king holy child to being some bodhisattva's slave, his word, and he's holding Wukong responsible for this.
It really is just a small town, isn't it?
he is itching for a fight, but he says, he's trying to be fair. He says if Wukong can last three rounds against him, and he is his compliant hook, because he's true moral compliant. He also has a compliant hook.
Compliant hook?
I don't know if he's named after the hook. Wukong's rod is also called the compliant rod a lot because it like does what he says, like it grows in size and does what he wants.
Fair enough.
He says if Wukong can last three rounds, he can have the water. This is, as usual, also a complete lie. After 10 rounds, he's still losing and he just runs away and tries to lock Wukong out and doesn't give him the water.
Grab that sweet abortion water, Wukong.
As usual, the fight scene is a poem. It specifically mentions Wukong aiming down there with the rod, just so you know. I thought you should know that.
Well, I mean, he's so preoccupied with other people's reproduction.
Yeah, so Wukong just kicks the door down and he sees the Taoist bent over the well that you've to like use to get to the stream now. And he's just covering it with his body to try and stop Wukong from using it. And Wukong goes to attack him and he runs away. But just as Wukong picks up a bucket and there's a bucket and a rope, you know, because it's a well, and he starts trying to lower it to build some water. But the Taoist runs back in from behind him and he catches Wukong's leg with the hook and trips him and runs away again. So,
I mean, fuck that guy, but that is kind of funny.
So they just kind of stare each other down for a minute. And so compliant is just like kind of making it clear if Wukong goes to the water again, he'll attack him. So Wukong tries to like lower the bucket with his right hand while defending with the iron rod in his left hand. But this is not workable at all, and the Taoist just kind of trips him again and he causes him to drop the bucket and all the rope and all down the well.
Yikes.
So this is compliant strategy. If Wukong tries to take any water, he'll just fuck with him and stop him being able to do it. But otherwise, he's just going to, if Wukong tries to attack him, he'll just run away and then come back if Wukong tries to take water. He knows he can't win this fight, but he's just going to be as petty as possible and make it so that Wukong can't win either.
Yeah, I can't see the Monkey King being very happy with that strategy.
Yeah, Wukong just fucks off back to the village to get Wu Jing to help him out. Tripitaka is worried about being left alone with his two healthy pilgrims gone. But the old woman promises to take care of them, and she promises that she won't harm them. And Wukong is like, sure, there's only women here. Who'd possibly hurt them? And the old woman laughs at him, and
come on, man, have you learned nothing?
Yeah, the woman laughs, and she tells them that they're lucky that they ended up in this house, because if they ended up at any other house in the village, they'd be dead. Because everyone, all the women in this house are kind of getting on in years and they're too old to be interested in sex anymore. But the rest of the village is full of young women who have never seen a man in their life and they would not take no for an answer. And if you tried to talk about being monks and being celibate, they would have just killed you.
Wow. Cool. That's horrifying.
Have you ever just really wanted to get laid that badly?
Well, that's rape, is what that is. Yikes.
So yeah, Wukong asks to borrow a bucket and rope and heads off with Wujing.
Just get that abortion water and get the fuck out of there, guys.
So the plan is that Wukong will fight compliant as a distraction while Baji sneaks in and takes the water. And surprisingly, unlike most of the plans in this novel, this works perfectly. Wujing gets blocked by some other Taoist in the Abbey who's guarding, who like left to guard the well, but he just breaks his arm and gets a bucket of the water and heads off.
Fair enough. So, break arms.
Yeah.
It works.
If guys stop trying to stop you from, you know, getting medical care, break his arm.
Yep. Do it.
So with that secured, Wukong tells Complaint that he could have easily killed him at any time, and the only reason he didn't do it is because he's old mates with his brother, and tells him to stop extorting people for abortion services.
No. Keep extorting people for abortion services.
What? Why?
Because people need abortions.
Yeah, so stop extorting them.
For abortions.
Yeah, but just let them have the water is the point.
Oh, okay. I got that completely wrong. Yeah. I thought, yeah.
Yeah, no, he's Wukong is saying.
I thought it was the Taoist.
Water. He's saying stop making people pay for it.
Oh, okay. I thought that the other person was saying this and that. Yeah, never mind. Never mind.
You see, you assume no, that Wukong must be on the wrong side of any issue.
Stop. I'm very team. Stop extorting people for abortion services.
MJ's surprising anti-choice turn there for a second.
The Catholics got me in the end. It was that tasty, tasty bread. I couldn't stay away.
Oh, communion bread tastes fucking rank.
Yeah, it's a wafer. It's very dry and stale. Jesus does not taste good.
Anyway, the Taoist tries to trip Wukong up as he leaves, but Wukong, as if to prove the point of what he just said, knocks him over, grabs the hook, snaps it in half, snaps it in quarters, and leaves.
Oh.
So for once, they are actually fully able to solve this problem on their own without going to any other gods. They give Tripitaka a bit of the water, and Baji's about to down the rest of the bucket when the old woman warns him that if he does that, it will like dissolve his entire digestive system.
Use these things safely.
he drinks the amount he's told to. A short time after that, the two of them feel a sharp pain, and Baji starts shitting and pissing himself.
Now that's always a fun time.
Yeah, so some chamber pots are brought out for the two of them, and they have some very bloody shits for a while, and their bellies eventually return to normal.
But no more baby.
No more baby. So the women make some food for them, and Baji asks for some hot water for a bath first. But Wujing is kind of teasing him again, and says you shouldn't have a bath within a month of giving birth, as some water might go up the wrong way and you might get sick. Baji protests that at best he's only had a miscarriage. It's fine.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because there's never any complications there whatsoever.
So the old woman asks for the rest of the water to keep. She puts it in a porcelain jar, buries it in the back garden for future. She remarks that it'll cover her funeral expenses at least. She's probably not. She's probably a bit old to need abortion water herself, but it's valuable.
Don't extort people for abortion water.
Yeah.
No. Oh well, there are a town full of rapists. There's really no good guys here.
Or at least, well, she thinks they are.
That's true. She may just have a very low opinion of them.
And the next day, the pilgrims head out towards the capital of the women's country, which we'll find out more about in the next chapter.
Okay. So I hope everyone is gonna enjoy their abortion cocktails.
Yeah, that ended up, for obvious reasons, that kind of ended up getting a bit more serious than I hoped. I was excited just about the concept, just the unexpectedness of having a 400-year-old male pregnancy episode.
Unexpected male pregnancy is fun. Religious people trying to interfere with your, not in this case, uterus. I don't know there was a lot of talk about where a kid would come out of. There's not a lot of talk about where that little embryo is growing. So
answers on a postcard.
Yes.
The women's country is also not like invented for this novel. It's a concept that kind of existed in stories and I guess as well. It's actually mentioned in the real Xuan Zhang's book, the travelogue, the great Tang Dynasty record of the Western regions. We should record another bonus episode for that. I need to go through and write down the bits that were noteworthy again.
We should. You can access that on our Patreon.
Yes.
Or alternatively, give that money to your local pro-choice organization because they will probably need it.
Also fair.
On that note...
Yeah, Patreon, Twitter, etc. Send us your favorite MPreg fan fiction. I will not read it.
No, we won't. We won't at all. We'll look at the titles and the fandoms and we will judge you. And we'll have a lot of fun doing that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I will absolutely not read any of it, though.
No. This is a specific... the lady doth protest too much, methinks, but you know what, I'm not gonna yuck someone else's young.
You
do your end right thing.
Bye.
Bye.